chapter 21, verse 11, God came and said, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself, 21 verse 11, 1 Chronicles, either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies, or else for 3 days sought of the Lord. The plague in the land with the angel the Lord destroying throughout all the territory. Consider this, and I'll take it back to God. Verse 13, David says, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord. He was angry. But he says, let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. And do not let me fall into the hands of man. And just as the angel was about to raise a sword to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord's heartbeat of love was there. And he stopped. There is the heartbeat of God's love. We all know the familiar story of the prodigal son, which typifies the love of our Father. Even though the prodigal son has got all his possession, gone away from the home, spent everything on the wrong things, and he was living with the pigs, in the end decided to come home. While he was far away, the father saw him, and this is the love of the father. Before the son reached him, the father ran to him. In other words, the love of God is so great. Even no matter how far you're gone away from God, if you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, he runs to you. He doesn't wait for you to take 20 steps and he says, now it's my turn, one step. You take one step towards him, he runs. He grabs you in his arms. But that is not the full expression yet. The other expression is when the elder son of the elder brother, the prodigal son came back. And he saw the prodigal son having great fun. And the elder brother went out and refused to come in. I want you to see the heartbeat of the father. He went to look for the elder son. Did you notice his love was still there? He didn't just love the young one. Well, everybody, do you know that a lot of parents, if sometime they have more than one children, they may have favoritism, or the achievement of one outshine the other and they pay attention to all one, which was in a way like long ago when we were in the church when we had our first child, everybody was saying, oh, cute, cute, pastor's daughter, cute, cute. Then when we had the second one, I saw it and I could discern and pick it up in my spirit. Everyone started going to the second one. Cute, cute, cute. The first one was neglected. Not by us, but by the church. Nobody felt it, but I felt. The father's heart felt it. And I told my wife, I say, look here, we got to do more that side. We can't tell the church people and say, hey, you all must be fair. You want to sayang one, sayang the other. But people innocently don't realize they're doing those things. So, imagine the prodigal son come back. You have never seen, you thought that he's dead. It would have been easy to forget everything else in the party. But when the father looked around and could not see the elder brother, he asked for him. And he came to him so gently and he explained to him. That is still the father's love, which we can have no greater expression than the Apostle Paul, who says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, says in verse 37 to 39, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a revelation. And the same Paul who wrote that verse was the same one who wrote 1 Corinthians 13. And if you want to know the heartbeat of 1 Corinthians 13, read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says to the Corinthians, "I wrote it with love for you." Which we don't realize. When you look at 1 Corinthians, we see in the first few chapters, it looks like he was angry at the Corinthians. But no, he was full of love. Do you know that the entire epistle of 1 Corinthians was written with tears? This is to show it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 4, he says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you, and many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I love so abundantly for you." And out of that love came one of the most beautiful points, 1 Corinthians 13. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that the love of God constrains us, propels us to do all the work of God. And that is to tell us, O ministers, O saints, that whatever we do, if love is not there, if we prophesy, it's useless. Do you know you could have a right prophecy without love? 1 Corinthians 13 says it's useless. You could have every other thing, but without love, it's useless. So let's remember that the entire heartbeat of the Father, entire heartbeat of Jesus, and the entire heartbeat of God is love. I believe the greatest thing is love. And our greatest emphasis in the church and any area must be to emphasize on love, which is one of the most difficult things for Christians to live. You go into any average church and you realize one of the most lacking things that people find is love. Because people cannot differentiate between agape love and human love. And they try to live with each other with human love, which cannot. We have to live with one another with agape love. Which is why people go church hopping every time they get hurt. Things are done against them. Always problems here, problems there. Brothers and sisters strive. And it's easy to split and strive, split and strive. But it's difficult to try to bring everybody under the arms of love. It takes great love to take everybody in, which is the kind of love our Father has. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, we see God is holy. And the kind of holiness, which I'll quickly just describe in verse 2, it says, "The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold. But now they become clay pots." When you lose your holiness, you become clay pots. Remember when Paul talks about holy vessels in God? Right? I'm saving time by just quoting. Holy vessels in God. Some vessels are this and some vessels are that. And we should strive to be the best vessels. The way to get from a clay pot vessel into a silver and a gold vessel is to live in holiness. Gold is a symbol of divinity. Verse 7, "Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance." What is that? You never see the Bible talk about righteousness as a beauty. But you do hear the Bible talk about the beauty of holiness. Because righteousness has to do with cleanliness in God's sight. But holiness has to do with beauty in God's sight. You may be clean, but not beautiful. What God wants in chapter 4 is to understand what He regards as beautiful. When you begin to walk in holiness, that is when God began to say, you are the most beautiful saint on earth. When you walk in righteousness, God will say, you are clean in my sight. Just like many of you ladies would never venture out of your house in your pajamas, with your curlers in your hair, or none of you men would venture out of the house in your pajamas, with your hair all unkempt, and go out. You may do that when you're doing sports activity, etc. But under normal circumstances, you would not. Let's say that when you're going to meet your loved one, whom you've never seen, you would prepare yourself. You beautify yourself. That is the kind of thing that the revelation is, that the clothing we have is holiness. Which is why I differentiate between needs and wants. When you talk about needs, and our needs become controlled by the word, it is in the area of righteousness. But when our wants become exactly the wants of God, that's when holiness has come in. So that you want nothing else but what God wants. And we should walk and realize this. Righteousness is like a clothing, but holiness is the decoration on your clothing. That makes a slight difference. The difference between a master artist and an amateur artist is the final touches. It's the extra touch that they have. The difference between a normal musician and a specialist concert pianist is the touch. They can play the same notes, but different. People will tell you different. The difference between one conductor who is under training to another master conductor is the touch. Same notes, same choir, same orchestra, but different master. The touch that is there. When you talk about holiness, you're talking about the extra touch. And remember this. Many Christians have righteousness as their clothing, but not holiness. Even the demons say, you holy son of God. Do you know how they recognize him? Because he dressed in holiness. When we begin to walk in holiness, that our heart goes into God and have the final touch. You can see there's a difference. You can see there's the difference. Like, praise God for, what's that, brother? Joshua, he is leading worship today. Joshua, you have a touch of holiness in your life. It can be seen in your worship. See, there is something else. Same song, but different. Continue to build strong in there. That's that extra touch. The clothing that is there. The decoration. When our heart loves God and all we want is God, and our wants become submitted to God, there is a special decoration, beautification that God puts on our life. Finally, it ends with a prayer. The God of eternity.